Did you know that Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is the longest running game ever? It takes a whopping average of 693 hours to finish. You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For all the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos and opinions, make sure you visit the xboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy and open your ears for some podcast delights. Hello and welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 33. Now I am Gareth Briley, I'm your host today, and I'm joined on my virtual left by Mr. Richard Dobson. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi, Gareth. Good, thanks. You?
Good, good. There was a slight sigh there. I was like, no. Oh, not him again.
It's not usual that I'm introduced first. It caught me off guard.
And on my virtual right is someone who hasn't been on here for ages, Mr. Neil Wharton. How are you doing, Neil?
Second. Can't believe it.
How are you doing?
What was your favourite? I'm good. You alright?
From the beginning, yeah, really good. Now, I'm going to let... We'll go behind the curtain. You two were called on last minute, weren't you? Because we had two people beginning sick. Yeah. We had the two James B's on, and you two have come on. I'm delighted. Filled in. Rushed up to the... What's it called? Rushed up to the peg? That's not the word, is it?
Plate,
that's it, not the peg. It's like crochet.
I say plate. What do you say there, Richard? Plate.
Good. I said plate, yes.
Yeah. Same word.
Not a plate.
Nice. We are still in lockdown. What's your hair like, Richard?
Wild and out of control.
Good. Mine looks like Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage in bad movies. That's my hair at the moment. It's really bad. I'm not going to ask you about your hair, Neil. That's fine.
Well, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
That I cut my hair the other day.
Did you?
I was shielding for about 9 weeks, and in those 9 weeks, I refused to shave and I refused to cut my hair basically because I wasn't seeing anybody. I wasn't going out or anything. And then my personal advice changed, and I was allowed to go out. Like on my bike. I thought, right, I can have a shave, I can cut my hair. Brilliant. Amazing. So yeah, so I've got no hair again now.
Ah. Did you like having a beard?
I've always had a beard, like since I was 5 years old.
Okay.
But I've never had it as long as it was. It was getting kind of tramp status.
It was impressive.
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks.
Okay. Right, what have you been doing this last week? Let's start with Neil.
Mostly Zwifting and riding my bike outside. If anyone doesn't know, Zwift is an online virtual bike riding game type thing. Where you plug your bike into a turbo trainer, and then for every time you turn the pedals, you move forward. The faster you turn your pedals, the faster you go. It's basically a computer game or a video game.
Okay.
But you're sat on a bike and you race against others from around the world. So I've been doing that a lot because I haven't been allowed to go out. It's hard work, like proper hard work. But it's cool. It's really good.
Is it boring as well?
Yeah. Yeah, because you're basically... I ride a bike because I like going out. I like seeing things. I like, you know, going to different places. Hmm. So you're sitting there, and I've set this up in my extension, and just sitting there looking into space. And so you stick a pair of headphones on, but you can't wear like proper cans because you get so sweaty. Real cans are no good. So you have to wear earbuds, and you stick a podcast on, you stick a bit of music on, and that's all right for a while. But if you sat there for upwards to 3 hours, 3.5 hours sometimes.
What? Hold on. 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's training, isn't it? So
yeah.
It's kind of what you got to do. And
I always imagine it's 20 minutes in there and that would be it. And then a Cocoa Pop, whatever it's called.
No, for the most part, I'll do about an hour.
Right.
But they have different courses. You know, it's just like I say, it's like a game, and they've put different courses, and some of these are 180 kilometers long, and 1,000 foot's worth of climbing, and that would take you probably 8 hours to do.
Yeah.
So can you feel the gradient as well then?
Depending on the bike you've got, I just put a normal bike on mine, and the turbo trainer kind of spins up and makes it a bit harder as you're going up. So you do really feel the gradient. Some of them you can have full kind of movement on your bike as well. So you take the front wheel off as well, and it moves up and down as you go up and down the hills.
Okay.
But that's just nuts. Yeah. Wow. But it's kept me fit, and it's kind of kept me slightly sane, and
But you're allowed out now.
Yeah, this last week I've been out twice. So wow. That's been good. It's been good just to get out and spin around.
Nice. Cool. Very good. Richard, what about you?
We've started a program called The Big Flower Fight on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that advertised.
I haven't.
It's basically Great British Bake Off, but instead of baking, they're making massive sculptures out of flowers.
Go on.
The premise is identical to Bake Off. And right. The main reason I started watching it was because Vic Reeves was one of the presenters, with, I think, Natasha Dimitriou.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Her was great from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, so they're the two presenters of it. But since then, you know, it's the same Bake Off. You just get far too into it, and you have your favourites and stuff like that. And we've got two episodes left to watch, and I think we're going to finish it off tonight and then be stuck twiddling his thumbs once again with what to watch.
Oh, I might be able to help you with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what you've been doing this week?
I have, yeah. I have watched a series on BBC iPlayer called Dave. And it's on the iPlayer at the moment. It's an American TV show. And it's 10 episodes. You can watch them all there. And Dave's about a Jewish white rapper called Little Dicky.
Oh, yeah. And Little Heard Dick, of him.
Yes, and Little Dicky was actually, he made his rap videos in like 5 years ago and became a YouTube sort of sensation. But he's a really good actor, and this is a TV series, a fiction. It's not a sort of documentary or anything. It's a fiction. He has a sort of like girlfriend and producer and stuff, and he's trying to become he's a YouTube sensation in this, and he's trying to become a successful rapper. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. He can really rap as well, but it's very funny, the stuff he does and raps about, and it's really well crafted. All the people in it are brilliant, and they have real rappers in there. There's celebrities coming there as well. They sort of make guest appearances. It's really well done. And the thing is, I watched them all, and I didn't know anything about him. And then I'm starting to watch all his sort of YouTube videos for the last 5 years, which are brilliant as well.
Mm.
Very good.
Have you been going down YouTube wormholes and discovering all manner of rubbish?
Exactly. But this is really good. I really recommend it. It's not being talked about that much. You know, it's really strange that BBC picked it up and then put it on. But yeah, it's great. It's really good. Dave. Yeah. That's my recommendation.
I'm on that. Next time I'm on my bike and I'm on Zwift, I'm sitting there for 2 hours. Dave. On one computer, and the Big Flower Fairy Fight, or whatever it's called, on the other.
Good.
You won't be disappointed, Liam.
You're done. Anything else? We had something, didn't we? I think Richard's going to talk about it. We did something this week, didn't we, all together?
Yeah, I thought I'd bring this up because I didn't think anyone else would bring it up.
Yeah, that's good.
But we as the Xbox Hub had a Golf With Your Friends tournament this week.
Six of us, yeah.
Had a little go on it, and I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun.
Just wondering why you brought it up. Was it because you won?
comprehensively, Neil.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't Gareth bring it up? Do you know?
I think he was, well, he didn't finish.
I didn't finish. I didn't. No, the reason was I didn't go off in anger. I had another thing going. I had a birthday Skype I had to do at 9 o'clock. This is the reason. But I was last at that time.
Quite a long way.
Yeah.
Good game, though, isn't it?
Really good. Yeah, it's really hard, but good fun. Really good. But we're gonna start to do that, I think, aren't we? Richard's organising it. We're going to be doing some Xbox Hub competition nights.
Yeah, we need you to stream them.
Yes, we'll do that. And maybe you can have a look. That's a good plan. Yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. Now, before we... I'm going to move on a little bit, but there's something... Did I talk to you about the Red Dead 2 meetings, which caught my interest this week?
No.
No.
Because people are now in lockdown, they're having meetings. People are having meetings on Zoom and everything. Maybe I'll talk about this in another podcast. Businesses are trying to think of different ways they can have meetings. So games have become a thing. So there's been some meetings, like business meetings, in Red Redemption 2 online.
Really?
Yeah, like around a campfire, because they're all on their headsets, and they're all on the campfire, and they have these, you know, have their meetings there, which I think, but they said it's really good until someone comes and raids the party. Starts shooting you from outside, or if someone actually just presses a button by mistake and ends up punching someone. In the meeting, it's quite when they're talking about, I don't know, financial reports.
Sorry, finger slipped.
Yeah.
We so wanted to do that for years.
I was thinking about other games. What other games could you do? We could just have meetings. And I love this idea of online.
It's quite funny you just said that, actually, because going back to what I said about Zwift,
yeah,
and GTA 5 or GTA Online, there's a PC mod that's just come out where you can ride, through... I think it's through Wahoo, which is like a bike kind of accessories manufacturer. And they set it up so you can ride around the GTA 5 streets. And you get all the inclines and stuff and that. And you've got all the cars going on. You've got everything going on around you. So that's kind of combined together as well. So people are joining gaming with riding in that as well.
Yeah,
I just remembered that now.
Maybe there's going to be lots of this thing when people can, especially on the online things, where they can just meet up somewhere. I mean, I suppose things like people like Warcraft, they can all just meet up, can't you, and have a chat somewhere.
In the tavern.
Yeah.
In one of the many taverns. Yeah.
I kind of like that idea. I think I remember Warcraft.
You could play Sea of Thieves, you got on a boat.
Yeah. All meet
team building.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not really
stick him in the cannon.
I remember World of Warcraft. There was really early on, there was something happening in the game. I think they increased the wage or something, you know, like maybe there's some monetary stuff that's going on. And I think that all the people in one server organized like a protest. So they all went to one location and took all off their clothes and just stood there, almost like making the game go to halt. I quite like that. I quite like something like a protest in the middle of a game. Right, I'm moving on. Because we're just chatting, aren't we? This is good, though.
That's
good
the idea.
Should we do some questions? Let's do some questions. You haven't done questions for ages, Neil. It's good.
I've missed my questions.
So every week I pose some questions to the guests to get an understanding of their psyche and misdemeanors. So this is no different. So they've got three questions and then some would you rather. So this is to everyone. Question number one. What is... the stupidest thing you did as a kid? Something you did that was ridiculous. Let's go to Richard.
I once told a lie that got me in a lot of trouble, which should be what happens when you tell a lie, but this lie... So I came out of school one day and I told my parents. They said, what happened at school today? And I said, I got sent to the head teacher's office, which something would be something I never normally did. Like I was quite well behaved at school. And for some reason I told them that I got sent to the head teacher's office for being naughty.
Wow.
And I can't understand why I felt the need to say it. But I then sort of convinced myself that I did go to the head teacher's office.
Wow.
In the end, it resulted in me getting sent to the head teacher's office for real about lying. Because my mum rung up the school and everything. And it was just an incredibly stupid thing that I did.
That's amazing. You just wanted to show a sort of wild side to you.
I don't even know. It's even to this day, I still think about it and I'm like, why?
Oh, God. I brought this up. This is terrible. Sorry, Richard. Don't think about it. It's gone. I have a problem because one of the other thing that I do is I write for theatre and bits and stuff. And sometimes I get confused about what I've written. That is real or is not real.
I can't believe you get confused about anything.
Oh, dear. Right, Neil, what's yours? What's your answer to this?
I don't know. I've been trying to think. I don't think I ever did anything really stupid as a kid at all. I was quite sensible like I am now. And
nothing at all?
No.
Did you?
You know, I probably ate a worm and a spider. Things like that, but was that stupid or was that just kind of part of growing up?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember eating spiders.
Did you eat spiders? No. Everybody ate worms and spiders.
No, I didn't.
No.
Not when I was 18, like you.
But no, I don't think I ever did anything stupid. I was kind of quite, you know, serious all the way through life as I am now. Serious and boring.
Good. All right. I once cooked fish fingers in the toaster and then tried to get the fish fingers out with a knife and then blew the whole house up. I remember that. 8 years old.
Why on earth did you think about putting fish fingers in the toaster?
It made sense to me. I don't understand why you could put bread in there. Why can't you cook fish fingers?
Good point.
Why can't you? What are you? Try it out, everyone.
No, please
no. Right, question two. Now, at the start of this podcast, if you would have been listening carefully onto the fact of the day, one of the facts I've got is that Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is the longest running game ever, with 693 hours to finish it. What video game have you played for the longest period? What more hours have you put into a video game than anything else? Neil?
Splinter Cell, Pandora Tomorrow.
Really?
Yes. Played that forever. Me and a mate. I just kind of semi-retired from work because my only son at the time, now my oldest, had just been born. And so I stayed at home to look after him. And basically, he just slept all day. So we just played Splinter Cell all day. Every day. Forever. And wow. I don't know how many hours it was, but it was hundreds easily.
Wow.
But loved that game. Amazing. That and Chaos Theory.
Wow.
Superb.
Might be a new Splinter Cell coming. Might be.
Yeah, there might be. Yeah. I've heard the rumours for the last... Yeah. What,
10 years. Yeah. Richard, what about you?
In terms of one character, I would probably say World of Warcraft.
Mm.
Just you used to be able to put in to the chat like /play, and it would tell you your overall player time.
That's right. Yeah.
But after a period of time, I just stopped doing that because the numbers were getting silly and it was just more and more depressing.
There was something amazing about World of Warcraft, isn't it? Because I got into it.
Yeah.
I got into it because my 360 had the three red rings and I had to send it away at the time for a repair that took, I don't know, it was 8 weeks or something, wasn't it? It was something ridiculous, or 12 weeks. And so I thought, oh, I'll try this. So everyone's gone about it. Oh, and I got really into it. But you did go through hours and hours, didn't you?
But yeah, you're right. There's just something about it. And thankfully, it wasn't the case that I needed to wean myself off it. But I haven't touched a drop of World of Warcraft since 2011 now.
Good on you.
Well done. Congratulations.
Well done.
I'm kind of there with PUBG actually at the moment. I said to myself, I'm stopping playing that. And I've done really well. I've lasted like 4 weeks.
Wow.
I've tried to be an enabler, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I did say no. I have to say no sometimes.
What do you think mine's going to be?
Some Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be FIFA. I think the amount of hours I've put into FIFA is mad, probably.
But that's across like 10 years, 12 years or so, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think you're right. I think it's Assassin's Creed. It's probably the hours I've put into those.
Which have you played more, Origins, Odyssey?
Both.
I'm guessing it's one of those two.
Yeah, I think I put Oranges. I keep saying Oranges every time for when I say that.
Oranges or bananas?
Assassin's Creed Oranges. I think I put about 100 plus there, because I did all the DLC as well. 100 plus on that one, yeah, so I think a bit more. I haven't done the DLC for Odyssey, but I put about 80 hours on Odyssey. It was mad. Yeah, great. Love those games. Good. Last question. Do you think artificial intelligence will end up benefiting, harming, or destroying humanity? That's... Richard.
I'm going to sound really negative here, but this is only because I'm watching the Terminator films at the moment, but it's going to absolutely destroy humanity.
Okay.
By what year?
Oh, I don't think it'll be in our lifetimes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Neil?
I agree entirely. I just think some absolute nutter will let it all go mad. And yeah. And once one's out, that's it. Wow. No stopping them.
Wow.
Or if it is in our lifetime, it'll be the thing that destroys us.
Wow, I didn't expect this. I was expecting a kind of debate about, you know, taking people's jobs, not destroying it Terminator style.
Yeah, take our jobs as well. Jobs are gone. Life's gone.
Life's gone.
No, I think it will, though. I just, like I say, somebody somewhere will let it. I would think that 99% of the population of the world would kind of keep it under control and would say, right, we're not going to do anything stupid. We'll rein it back. Because that's basically what they're doing at the moment, isn't it? They're stopping it from kind of going out of.
Yeah, they had. There was one test they did on one who they, because they're very close to AI, and they had to stop the experiment because it got so out of control quite quickly.
Yeah. And I can see that. And like I say, 99% of the people will stop it.
Yeah.
But one person, that's all it takes, will let it go. Just say, I wonder. Let it go, and then that's it. World's over.
Be the new
game of chicken with the plug.
Be what? Sorry.
Having a game of chicken with the plug, like how far I can.
Ah, I see. it might be the new Xbox Series X. This might be it. It would come
it
out.
It might be. Yeah.
It would kill us all.
I said that. It'd
be a PS5.
Yes, it's the PlayStation.
Maybe there'd be a battle between the two of them. It'd literally be a battle. They have machine guns or two, like robot battles between them on the streets where we're all dying around them.
This is why we've not seen the PS5.
Yeah. They haven't got the weaponry right. They haven't got the lasers.
Is that big enough?
No. Would you rather questions very quickly? Neil, M&Ms or Maltesers?
Maltesers.
Oh, good choice. Sword or pen?
Pen.
Oh, very nice. Fish sticks or onion rings?
Oh, come on. Fish sticks or onion rings? Not anything other than fish sticks.
That's snacks. Richard, these are yours. Cross country or tug of war?
Tug of war.
Yeah. Top hat or flat cap?
Oh, God, be flat cap.
Tiger or lion?
Lion.
Oh, good. Okay, right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Let's go on to what we've been playing this week. We have a couple of games. Let's start with Neil. What have you been having a go at?
Well, I haven't been on for a few weeks. I've been listening to you lot all chatting about different games. But I've been playing, most recently, Maneater, which is a shark RPG, or shark RPG, however you want to say it. Shark RPG. Anyway, you play as a shark, and you just have to eat things, including humans. And it's really, really good.
Is it like GTA of the shark world? That's what I was going to say. Is it like an open world?
Yes. It reminded me more of Sunset Overdrive, to be honest. Sunset Overdrive, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Just a bit nuts. Just absolutely mad. But you can go and do what you want when you want, really. As long as you keep eating things. Well, I'm guessing that's how sharks live. They eat things. You just carry on going, and then you grow, and you can kind of enhance your abilities, and you can have like electric teeth and big shields on your back and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, really good game.
Is it like, has it got mission structures, or have you got like story missions, or is it just go out there?
There's a big overriding story that kind of gets set up really well at the start. I won't say what happens because it's really impressive, actually. I like the way it sets up.
Oh.
And then you can follow mission structures, but then there are also challenges. So find 10 kind of hidden license plates that are under the water, and eat 30 different types of fish, or eat 10 people off of the beach and stuff like that. So there are all of those as well, as well as the main missions.
Okay.
But then you open up different areas as well. So it's obviously the sea is all connected, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
But there are grates and stuff that close off different areas. So as you level up and grow in size and stature, you kind of become a teen shark and then an adult shark. And then you can open up and go into these other areas as well. And then they're all different. Yeah, cool.
Oh, that sounds good.
But yeah, GTA, Sunset Overdrive, madness as a shark.
And what did we give it? We reviewed it, didn't we?
Yeah, Paul reviewed it. He gave it a 4.5. Basically, the only thing that let him down, or let it down, was that in the combat, it can get really kind of manic, really, and there's no lock on. So you're kind of trying to fight a barracuda, for instance, and then an alligator comes along. And they'll both try and fight you, but you can't lock on to one of them. So if you're getting the health down on one of them, you want to kind of focus on that one. And it's really difficult to do that without this lock on. But other than that, he absolutely loved it. Oh, it looks great as well. And the movement of the shark is absolutely spot on. I mean, perfect.
Okay.
You really do feel like you are this shark.
You are the shark.
Does it feel good underwater? Because I know that's something that primarily games have struggled with in the past.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you can. I can't think what it's called when the shark goes to the surface of the water and it cuts through with its fin on the top. What's it called? I don't know. Anyway, you know when they kind of skims along the top and you see its fin, so you can swim around like that, or you can swim right under the waves, go as deep as you want. You can jump out of the water, jump onto boats, onto beaches. But yeah, it's really cool.
Good. I like the look. I like it. Richard, what about you?
I've been playing on the Nintendo Switch another golf game called What the Golf.
Oh, I've heard about it. Tell us, yeah.
It's one of the funniest games I've played in a while. Like I'm just sat on an evening playing it, and I'm properly giggling away to myself at some of the things on it. It is a golf game in the sense that you've got to get a ball in the hole, but it's also not a typical golf game as well. So if for example, one level, you'll line up to take your shot, but instead of the ball going, you as the player get flung forward the amount of power that you do, and then you've got to hit hit the pin yourself, and it's all these sort of golf-based challenges. And it, but sometimes you'll look at the level and you'll be like, what am I doing here? But then you'll set the power for something and something will move. It's just, it's difficult to explain, because
it's like the game world changes on every level. So yeah, and the physics and everything else, it's just different every one, is it? Every
and it doesn't ever get, it doesn't ever feel repetitive. There's, everything's a surprise and everything's different every time you play it. Literally one level, everything's set up like it would be for a normal golf level, and you set the power bar and it's the power bar itself that flies off. It's just constantly surprising you in that way, and it's just really, really funny.
And that's only out on Switch at the moment, is it?
I think it's on Steam as well, but okay. I'm playing it on Switch. It came out last week on the Switch, I think. And I do hope that it comes over to Xbox and PlayStation as well, because it is just so much fun.
I like the sound of that. Do you like the sound of that, Neil?
I think if it does well, it's nailed on for Xbox and PlayStation, isn't it?
I think it's been in the top 10 on the Switch store this week, from seeing the stuff that they're putting out. So it's done a lot better than they anticipated. But yeah, it's very, very funny.
Okay. Is it just single player or the multiplayer and stuff as well?
I think there is a multiplayer that you can do if, you know, you have it on your Switch, other people can download it.
Yeah.
I think there's that on it, but I've not obviously tried it.
Just sitting in the corner laughing to yourself, you're quite happy doing that.
Yeah. I'm glad that I'm not commuting to work, because there'd be some funny looks on the bus if I was.
Nice. What the golf? I've been playing this week, and it's out today. It's out today, so we're okay. Those Who Remain. And Those Who Remain is a first-person horror game where you're solving puzzles and you're going through a strange kind of world. And it's a game that I first saw in January. We had an interview for it here on the podcast, didn't we? With the publishers, I think something Camel. I can't remember the name.
Camel 101. It's Ricardo, wasn't it?
It's two brothers who have made it, isn't it?
Ricardo and Bruno. Yep.
Yeah.
Sisterio.
And Neil's just done a really good Q&A with them on the site at the moment. So go and have a look at that. It's really kind of great and in depth. And it's a good game. It's a good game, and you're basically traveling through this kind of, you're this almost like a novelist stroke private eye, it feels like, at the beginning. Your wife's gone, your family's gone, and you're in this strange town, and straight away, as you travel out, in the shadows, in the darkness, there's all these kind of monstrous figures, humanoid figures with glowing eyes, and if you go towards them, you'll die. Yeah. So you have to
stay out of the dark, is that right?
Stay out of the dark. You have to sort of stay in the light. So there's ways of getting through, puzzle ways of getting through, is like simple things to switch the lights on. Other occasions, you might need to find generators. You might need to attach some Christmas lights at one point, find a plug for those to try to get through a path. And then the other bit of the game is, at some point, you can go into another version of the world. Like in Stranger Things, when they got the upside down world, it's a good description of it, which is this kind of like the same world but slightly different. So there's little doorways you can go through and go into a different version of this world, where gravity is different and everything else. And then you could solve a puzzle in that world that would affect the other world. If that makes sense. Yeah. And it's good. It's a good game. It's not. There's bits of it that aren't as solid as it should be. I think there's bits of it actually has made me feel a bit nauseous, because they have this sort of weird thing. It's like when you're moving, the camera slightly goes left to right, so it feels like you're kind of like going, you're moving a little bit, rather than normally in those worlds you're just going straight through, aren't you,
in
first person. And then so when you've got that, and then you go into certain bits when it really distorts reality, and that world is moving as well in a distorted way. And so at one point, I had to stop, and I'm reviewing it, I had to stop I was nearly sick, which I'm not normally like that at all. Then I had to go, okay, I need to go. And then I had to play through it and sort of look at the corner of my eye. So I was looking at the wall, so I wouldn't see it that bad. Yeah, really bad. And yeah,
how I play horror games normally.
It's, we're just doing the review at the moment. It should be out early next week. But I've seen a few stuff for it today. It's not gone down great. It's gone down all right. I think it's a bit, I've read a couple of things today just to be curious, and it was like, I think it's a bit harsh. I think it's a good game and some really good ideas.
Why is it only $15.99? That was my, I say, why is it only $15.99? Because all games should be $15.99.
Yeah.
But that seems very cheap to me.
It does. I think it's probably about right.
Really?
I think, okay. Yeah, I think it's probably about right for lengthwise, if it's getting to the length. I've nearly finished it there, and I think it's probably about... It doesn't look like a AAA game. It doesn't feel like a AAA game. I don't think so.
Yeah.
It feels like an indie game, which is not a bad thing. Yeah. I think if you put it into that full price bracket, I think it might... Yeah.
Yeah, in the build-up to this, like, we've done the interview, you spoke to Ricardo before. I've always had this in my mind, as it's like one of those $29.99 games. Not 50 quid, not 15 quid, but slap bang in the middle. And I was very surprised that it came out, like you say, today. Was it? Yeah, it was today. Yeah.
Yeah.
At $15.99.
It doesn't feel as good as it might look on PC as well. I don't know. There's something about it.
All right.
I mean, it's hard when you're playing with light and dark a lot, which is the game is. Those texture changes have got to be amazing, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think it quite cracks that. But it's good. There's some really lovely ideas and some lovely levels in it. I really enjoyed certain bits of it and some great kind of horror moments. And so I think it's a good game in there.
Look forward to the review.
Yeah, absolutely. What else we got, Richard? You got another one?
Yeah, I'm currently reviewing at the moment a game called Monstrum, which is another survival horror game that's set on a ship, and it's procedurally generated. So at the start of each game, you wake up in a different room. It could be the toilet, it could be your dormitory or somewhere like that. And you basically need to get off this ship whilst being hunted by, I think there's three different monsters in this game, and it's randomly chosen which monster you start off against. And then you need to find the right equipment to get off the ship using you can either escape through the plane, there's a life raft, and then there's also a submarine. And that's the game, basically. I think they can take about 20 minutes each time. And it's just a case of figuring out where the items are that you need to find, for which method you want to use as well, all whilst keeping an eye out for wherever this hunter is.
Wow.
Are the items the same every time? I know you said procedural, but so the items you need for a specific escape is the same every time?
Yeah. The example, the helicopter, you'll need to find the keys to open the plane, something to snap off the coupling cables, and there's something else you need to do, and then for the submarine, you need to do some welding and other things and find batteries and lights, but they're always the same, they're always in different locations. But these things that are hunting you down are sort of triggered by noise, so whilst your normal walking speed's really slow, if you then start sprinting, they're gonna hear that a lot more clearly. Anything that you trigger, if you do something, you complete an objective on one of these escape routes, will always generate a lot of noise. So that'll always draw their attention. But you can fight against them. I think there's like fire extinguishers and different smashable objects that you can use to distract them and stuff, but a lot of the time, like I've found anyway, it's when you first start hearing them, then it's already game over.
as they pop up behind you. Is it actually scary as well or not?
Not really. I think that's a problem I have with it, is the only time it's ever scary is when you hear this monster either coming up behind you, or you can see the lights from it, because one of them emits this like bright orange light and you can sort of see that around corners.
Are you liking this, Richard?
It's okay. I'm not blown away by it.
I know, I've got a sense of that. Do you know what straight away my heart went out when you said procedurally generated, and I hate it. I can't stand that.
I know what you mean, but
it just bores me to that. I can't think of a good game that has ever been used that.
I thought with it being quite short, so say each game can take about 20 minutes if you get everything you need. But as well, and obviously this will be a design feature. The corridors are all identical,
yeah,
and you do get lost quickly in it.
And it's quite a big price, this game, isn't it? Have I made it out? Is it
20 odd quid? I think. I think it was a bit more than Those Who Remain, anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
No, definitely not, and I wouldn't have paid full price for it if I'd have been looking.
Yeah, it's that. I just don't get on with that. This straight away procedurally generated, it makes me cringe. Straight away, I go, no. I don't know why.
So does the police.
Did you hear the police then? It's London.
Yeah.
They're coming for you.
Just them saying hello. Somebody say hello. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Monstrum. Neil, have you got another one?
Yeah, I've got a really good one, actually, which is SnowRunner. I reviewed this back at the beginning of May, I think it was, something like that. And it follows on from Spin Tires Mud Runner, which was back in 2017, 2018, one of the two. It's an off-road kind of driving simulator type thing. And it's very, very slow, but it's really spot on. The way you control the vehicles, the way you use a winch to drag yourself out of mud, so you attach it to a tree and kind of wind yourself in to carry on your journey. It's really well done, and I was very impressed with it.
And it's got these games have really got an audience, haven't they? They do well, don't they? People love them.
People do love them. I never played Spin Tires Mud Runner the first time round.
Right.
I just thought it looked a bit slow and a bit kind of precise. And it reviewed really, really well. I can't remember what we gave it. I think we gave it about 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I think we
possibly
did.
Even a 5 at the time. And across the board, it got really good reviews. And then this one came out, the SnowRunner. And we had a few articles about it. And they were just getting hits after hits after hits after hits. I think, God, there's something about these. So anyway, came out. And pretty much from the word go, I was wowed by what SnowRunner does. It, like I say, it is very slow. And if you're looking for a driving game where you can just speed around and have a laugh, this ain't for you.
No.
But if you want one where you have to worry about your positioning of every single tyre, you know, at every single point, then this is the one for you. It's really good. And tons of missions. I mean, content-wise, it's huge. Massive.
Wow.
So it could probably push you and your Assassin's Creed Odysseys for hours of gameplay. It's that big.
It sounds a bit like Death Stranding. Having to kind of do management of weight, weight management.
Yeah, kind of a bit like that actually. Yeah, if you put one tire out, kind of one tire in the mud or one tire on a bit of snow, then you're stuffed and you've got the old winches and you're spinning your cars around. But yeah, really good.
Have you finished Death Stranding yet, Richard?
I haven't. No, I've not touched it for a few months now. It's still there on my to do list.
I said this last week on the podcast, but I said again, when I got to the end, I'm not going to say what the end is, but there's a lot of cutscenes at the end.
Yeah.
The final bit. And my partner was here, and I said to her, she wanted to watch TV. I said, look, I'm right at the end of this. You know, I think this is it. This is the end. Can you just wait? And 3 hours later, the cutscenes were still going.
That's par for the course with the Kojima game.
Yeah. She couldn't believe it. Very angry. That wasn't a good night. anything else, you two? Anything else to chat about? I haven't got another one. I think I chatted.
Have you got one, Richard?
I just wanted to mention briefly that I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins as well. ever since the trailer for Valhalla came out, I was like, I really, really want to get into these games now. And I only have played the original Assassin's Creed.
Wow.
Whenever that
came out. The very first one?
The very first one, yeah.
Oh, the worst one of the lot.
Yeah, and that instantly put me off ever touching them again. But seeing that Valhalla trailer and then hearing that Origins and Odyssey was kind of like a reboot for the series. And it was cheap. I bought those two as a double pack for like 30 quid.
Wow.
And yeah, completely changed my mind on this series now as Origins. Yeah, I think I'm fully invested in it, and I'm looking at getting Valhalla whenever that comes out as a day one purchase.
Have you not looked at Odyssey yet as well?
No, I've not touched that one yet.
To the one.
Yeah. So Gareth would know, I've just got to Crocodilopolis. I don't know if that's right or not.
Oh, yeah. Where yeah.
First arena is. That's about 30 hours in.
Yeah, you've got loads left to do.
Yeah. So that's taken up plenty of my time. And it's even got me stopped playing Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Ah.
As okay. This one. So, yeah, really, really enjoying it.
Oh, good. Good. Keep going. And do the DLC. That'll take you another 4 years. That'll take you through the summer.
Don't depress the man. He's liking it at the moment.
DLC is really good, actually. It's really, really good. Best DLC I've ever played. I think I reviewed it for us, didn't I? That fun one. I think I might have done. Yeah, it's really good. Right. Let's go on to some news. Now, it's been quiet. It's a little quiet little gap now this week before I think in June it's all going to kick off a little bit. With announcements and things going on. But we have seen, I think it was Phil Spencer talking about Xbox Series X today, when they trying to get their thing about when they launch, you'll be have access to thousands of games straight from day one. And that's to do with going back, isn't it? Backward compatibility.
yeah, that thing.
All the way back to Xbox, back isn't it?
Compat. That's back and pat.
Excited about that?
No.
Richard?
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Would you like me to expand on that slightly?
Slightly.
I couldn't care less about backwards compatibility at all. Since it's been on Xbox One, I have not played a single Xbox 360 game or original Xbox game, and at no point have I wanted to play any of those either. I played them before. I don't want to play them now. It's the same as... I'm slightly different to a lot of people, because I know some people like watch a film and then watch it again and again and again. I will watch a film once and then I don't ever want to see it again. And I'm the same with games. Once I'm done with a game, I totally get done with it, and I move on to something else, I don't ever want to go back. So this means nothing to me, I'm afraid.
No, good. I think that's a really good point. I think I'm just finishing up the review for Mafia 2.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go back to that game, even though they've done a really good job visually and sound-wise, but you've still got a kind of gameplay dynamic that's of a time, that's of 10 years ago. And
Saints Row. Yeah.
And it's really, there's something really jarring about it. It's not quite there. It doesn't quite, every time you go into a different location, there's a sort of blackout, and then you're in, it can't render that quickly in the old console. And it's something very jarring about it. It doesn't feel quite right. And the thought of going back to anything else. You know, and these are sort of like redos, aren't they, or remastered? So it's
I don't think it's so much that for me. I don't mind. Like I said, I've just been playing Saints Row the third remastered, and I enjoyed it a lot. Mm. Like with you and Mafia, it's clunky, but then it's nearly 10 years old, so it's going to be clunky. But I've enjoyed playing through it. But I wouldn't have gone back to play Saints Row the Third if it wasn't the remastered one.
Mm.
If you get what I mean, I understand there's a place for these backwards compatible things, because people that are coming into Xbox now and have never had an Xbox before, perhaps they'll want to go and play Viva Pinata. Perhaps they'll want to go and play Psychonauts, something like that. But personally, no. I just want to look forward. I can't be bothered. Once I've done with a game, I'm done with it totally.
Mm.
And very rarely will you see me going back.
Mm. Richard, what do you think?
Well, firstly, if you've not played Viva Pinata yet, you should be playing Viva Pinata.
Well, obviously, yeah.
But yeah, I'm in two minds about it. Like, on one hand, I'm excited that everything's going to be, well, nearly everything's going to be playable on the Xbox Series X that I've got already. But then on the other hand, I'm like, is that the best use of that new, that brand new console that I'm going to have under my TV?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's not, because there should be a raft of new games coming out that hopefully will take up all my time and I don't need to go back and play something older.
Yeah. Quick question, actually. You saying that, what you said earlier about you're playing Assassin's Creed Origins and then Odyssey, if Valhalla, is it coming out on Xbox One? It is, isn't it? It's coming on Series X and Xbox One?
Yeah.
If it wasn't coming on Xbox One, so you couldn't play it on Xbox One, but you bought a Series X, you started playing Valhalla on your Series X, would you then go back and say, oh, there's this Xbox One game called Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I might go and play that? Or would you look at it and say, well, it's not a Series X game, I'm not going to play it?
I think normally I would, but the one thing that they're doing with this Xbox Series X version, which I think will maybe steer a lot of people to try older games on it, is the upscaling that's going to be happening on it.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm not,
even though it's, if it's not branded Series X, I think that's immediately, probably wrong to say this, but it's probably immediately going to put me off. If I've bought a Series X, I want to play a Series X game. I don't want to play an old hashed-up game.
I remember Xbox tried something with that when they introduced the backwards compatibility for the Xbox One. They tried to brand a lot of standard 360 games with Xbox One packaging in shops. I remember seeing San Andreas, which I think was only a digital game anyway, for the 360.
Yeah.
But it came in an Xbox One case.
Wow. That's true.
I thought that was really cheeky, to be honest.
I think I'm with you on it, Neil. I think I'm the same. I think, I mean, we're going to find out more in July about what the Xbox Series X launch games are going to be like. But you'll still be able to play all those games on the Xbox One, won't you? Is that right? So you'll be able to play Halo on Xbox One as well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Upcoming stuff.
Yeah, the new stuff and the launch.
For a little while you will, until they suddenly realise that it's better for them to put full focus on building Series X games.
I think that's a shame. I've always thought that's a shame. I think you're going to go up against the PlayStation, which will have PlayStation 5 only games from launch. And I think that's kind of going on what you're saying there. It's still about, we had this conversation before, but it's about you going, what makes you get that console? When you go, I can play Halo, the new Halo, on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
How's it going to push me to get that new console? What's it going to give me that's new? We're going to get it, of course. You're going to all get the thing. But it's someone who's on that, that cusp of something, and financially as well, you know. What's it going to give me?
I think that's the down to Game Pass as well. So,
yeah,
in the same sense that, that Neil said he would only watch a film once, on Netflix you've got a load of older films. And on Game Pass you've got a load of older games.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to put something out on there that's not gonna, that someone can't watch or can't play.
That's why they're going to make it available across
both generations.
Yeah.
But I think it's when the last generation leap happened, when 360 and Xbox One, we had what was really interesting. So like, I remember the first Mordor game.
Yes, Lord of the Rings, Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, that was on the 360 as well, but it didn't have the Nemesis mode, did it?
It's almost
like a half game, didn't it? There's a few of those games a bit like that. FIFA, I think you could only, you didn't have one bit of the game. There's something that was that the Xbox One had more of, and then you had the two Assassin's Creed games at the time. Unity you could only get on Xbox One, but they released a 360 game as well called I think Renegade
Rogue.
Rogue. That's it. And so they had both. They were still doing their market, but they had those two things going on. But it really made you go, I need the Xbox One because I'm not going to play Unity, or I'm not going to play the full versions of Mordor, or I'm not going to play the exclusives that come out. Yeah. I really think that's key. I can see why they're doing it. And we're going to get, you know, it's going to be great. You'll get an update about Valhalla, and you're going to get, you know, I don't think it's going to last that long. But, you know, it's, it will be a year of that, won't it, before they just start doing Series X only games, because developers would just be making it that the Xbox One won't be able to handle.
But a year before they start remastering the Xbox One games.
Yeah, exactly.
Series X.
Yeah.
I suspect it'll be even longer before that thing, before Xbox Series X only games start coming out though now with everything else.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll wait and see.
I don't really listen to the PlayStation side of things. So how are they working with their PC stuff? So when PS5 comes out, you can't play any PS4 and PS3? Or?
I think there's something about PS4 today, and that's why I think Xbox have come out with this statement, because they were saying it's not going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, here, it's not going to be all games that can be played on the old PS4 onto PS5. I think it's a bit more complicated.
Yeah, from what I've heard, that's right as well. But that's always been the case, depending on which PlayStation console you picked up. Like, the PlayStation 4 that I've got isn't backwards compatible, but the original PlayStation 4 consoles are backwards compatible with PS3.
That's right.
Oh, so they took it off?
They did off some versions of the console, yeah.
That says a lot to me then. There's not many people doing it. There's worried about it.
Is that right, or was it the PS3?
There was some, I think there's something going on there. I think there's some bits are right with that. Yeah, there's something at the moment that they literally go in. They're not saying you can't play every PS4 game or PS3 game. Mm-hmm. It's not going. They're saying it's a bit more. It's not what they're going for, is it? They are going for this is a PS5, and you can play this game.
Yeah,
you know, on the PS5, and that's it. They're going for that.
Yeah,
and they're going. They look like the rumor is it's next week, isn't it? On the 3rd, that's their big, because they haven't done anything yet, have they? Apart from that tech talk that we all watched. So
I didn't watch it.
You did watch it. We did.
No, I didn't watch it. I've got better things to do in my life.
Yeah.
I
struggled through that, didn't we? So yeah, that's that. Maybe we'll know a bit more next week. But yeah, quick thing on Games for Gold. What's coming out?
Four new games.
What have we got?
Go on, Richard. One of these is your favourite.
I'll take that one then. So Coffee Talk. Which I reviewed at the start of this year, January, February time. It's coming to Games with Gold. And did I give it 4.5 out of 5?
I think you did, yeah.
That's right. But yeah, it's easily one of my Games of the Year so far, Coffee Talk.
I'm looking forward to that.
Just a nice, very relaxing game to play. So it's a visual novel type game set in a coffee shop. And yeah, just everything about it, like even the soundtrack that I've listened to plenty of since I finished that game, is just very calm and relaxing. And it's the kind of coffee shop you'd want to visit if you were cool enough.
Okay, I like the sound.
You're talking
of that.
To Gareth there, aren't you? Yeah, because he's not cool.
In general.
Okay. All right. What's the other one?
We've also got Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. There's another Xbox One, and then Destroy All Humans, which is an OG Xbox game, I believe.
Yeah.
Just in time for the new game that's coming out soon.
It's a remaster, isn't it?
The remaster's next month as well.
Okay.
At the same time that this is going backwards compatible. I think it already is backwards compatible, but
yeah.
And the games have gone. Yeah.
It's like weird.
And then
Sidemora
is the last one, so I don't know anything about that. I think it's a shooter. That's all.
Oh, yeah,
that
is a shooter. I do know, yeah.
It's that bullet hell one, but yeah. there's a better version on the Xbox One already.
Yeah. Who loads up these 360 games? Gee, I don't know. People do.
We've just been talking about
that. I know, sorry, I've forgotten already. What time is it? Is dinner ready?
You know, when you go through Game Pass, just going very quickly back to what Richard said.
Yeah.
And you go through the Game Pass thing and you've got all these Xbox One games and then like an Xbox 360 one pops up. Mm. Do you think, what's that bloody thing doing there? Get out of the way. I don't want that. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Give me more Xbox One games.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Just really quickly, Game Pass is No Man's Sky is coming to Game Pass this June. That's the one big announcement, isn't it?
Yep.
I've got to go back to No Man's Sky. I've put in so many hours into that game, I just realised. Last time I loaded it up recently, I went, I'll go back to No Man's Sky. I was just surrounded by those bloody Sentinel robots going, danger, get out. I was like, switch it off. Let's not look at that for a while.
Load up FIFA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, before we go, that's what we're looking forward to next week. Richard, anything looking forward to coming out?
There's the Remnant from the Ashes DLC is next Friday, I think. So Remnant, I think I spoke about one here before, but that's on Game Pass as well. And me and a couple of friends have been playing through it. We're at the final boss. But we're struggling a bit on it. So I know that this DLC is coming out, but there's also a massive patch as well, which should make it a little bit easier for us. So we've kind of put it to one side for the time being whilst this patch comes out. But then I'm looking forward to getting back into it as well, because it's been a good game to play cooperatively.
Good. Okay. Neil?
Tour de France 2020 for me.
Is it going to be good this year? That's what I want to know.
No, it's not. No,
okay.
It's not.
Good.
I've played 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015. I think I've played it since about 2013. Wow. And it's... I'd like to say it gets better every year. But the jump every year is so minuscule. Wow. It's kind of hardly worth mentioning. But yeah, I've got high hopes for Tour de France 2020.
Good.
Just because it's like a bad game, though, do you still enjoy it as someone that likes bikes?
No.
Okay. that's me sold on it then.
Good.
No. What I like, like looking at the Tour de France routes, and then I get my magazine out, my official Tour de France guide for the year. And then I compare to make sure they've got the routes right. Sometimes they haven't even got the bloody routes right. and that's even more annoying.
So part of the game, part of the fun of the game is you getting out a map and comparing the routes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Did they ever put Leeds in it when it started from Leeds?
Oh, from Harrogate?
No, Leeds, not Harrogate.
Oh, sorry. It ended in Harrogate. Harrogate's the more posh place, isn't it? Yes, that was all in there.
That was all in there. Did it actually start from Leeds?
No, I just know it ended in Harrogate, didn't it? Or did it start in Harrogate?
I don't know.
I don't remember Leeds being in there. I don't think they could fit the words in. But no, it's like I say, I'm looking forward to playing it, but I don't expect a lot from it.
No,
unfortunately, and that's coming from somebody who quite happy ride a bike all day every day.
Well, maybe Xbox Series X. Maybe that's going to be the new thing. So that's going to be the best cycle games are going to come out of that. It'd be like your experience in the room.
Possibly. What could be good, actually, is alongside TDF20, they released Pro Cycling Manager, which is kind of more stats-based. Yeah, they released that on PC. And that looks a lot more, I say, fun. I know you two like your stats, especially Richard.
Yeah.
And I quite like the stats. So I'd like that to be on console, really. And they never brought it over to Xbox or PlayStation. So maybe when we get to Series X and it basically being a PC, we'll be able to play Pro Cycling Manager.
Yeah. Hopefully. I've got a feeling it isn't the power of the machine that series that hasn't come over. They can handle those cycling stats.
Football Manager. You play Football Manager on Google Stadia. It's amazing. It's stunning because you're playing it on like the most powerful PCs in the world.
Yeah.
So it could be.
Right.
Good numbers.
I'm looking forward to nothing next week. Car showroom. That's what I've put down. I'm going to go to a car showroom on Monday.
You're going to go buy a car?
No, I'm just going to look somewhere to see something else rather than this house. That'd be my thing.
Talk to different people.
Yeah.
What are you doing here today? Well, I don't really want a car, but I have to get out.
Yeah, and I don't know any open markets. Right. Where can we find you two? Where can we find you, Richard?
On Twitter at 001912.
Great. Neil?
Instagram, Neil363. But again, I'll load that with, it'll just be pictures of bikes.
And you can get me at GB Briley on Twitter and other things. Now, please subscribe, like, leave a comment. Especially if you're on Apple, please, there. That's really important for us. But just say something nice. Say something nice. Join in the chat. And we will see you next week. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Richard, for coming in short notice. And see you later. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to the official podcast of the XboxHub.com. You'll be able to find all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter at The Xbox Hub, and search for The Xbox Hub on Facebook.